welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Michael Murray, who is, I believe, the producer. Is that correct, Michael?
I'm the producer.
And maybe the director of What in the World Are They Spraying? This movie was featured at our last Noetic Science meeting and has been shown all over the country, and probably further than that. It is an amazing compilation of information about chemtrails and the potential health hazards in humans, as well as hazards in terms of agriculture and permanent changes in our soil. Michael, thanks for coming on today.
Well, thanks, Dr. Kolb. More importantly, thanks for covering this important issue.
Well, we've been interested in a while at Millennium Healthcare because we actually treat the high levels of aluminum and barium that we're seeing on the hair analysis. And I didn't know from your film, you didn't go real specific into treatment of these things, but we found that magnesium malic acid is very effective for aluminum, as are some of the ionic foot baths and other detoxification procedures. But mm-hmm. we're certainly seeing the health effects at the level of the clinic, if you know what you're looking for.
Absolutely, and we're actually hearing that not only here in the U.S. but around the world. And as you know, in the film we documented the levels of aluminum, which have in some cases escalated over 50,000% in the past 5 to 6 years. So directly related again to geoengineering programs, and as you stated, many people call these chemtrails that we see in the sky.
Yes, my brother is an atmospheric scientist who presents to Congress, and when I talked to him about chemtrails, he vehemently denied they existed, saying said it was only contrails. But I think it's important for our audience to understand that contrails are the normal things that jets put out that are water vapor, and as water vapor, they vaporize pretty quickly. But chemtrails don't vaporize so quickly. What is the behavior of chemtrails?
That is correct. Typically, what we're seeing, and we've seen on an increase in the past 10 to 15 years, are these long, lingering trails. Typically, you'll see crisscrossing patterns in the sky. They do not dissipate. They actually fall down, spread out, and completely block out the sun. That matches what geoengineers proposed, which was spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide into our sky for the stated goal of blocking the sun for what they said was to mitigate global warming. However, it appears that these are multi-agenda operations, so they have many different purposes. But again, that is typically what we're seeing. We're seeing these our skies turning into this milky color, and typically on days of heavy spraying, people complain of irritability, burning eyes, dry mouth, nausea, headache.
Sinus problems,
and another main ingredient, and hopefully we can get into some of our findings in rain tests and snow tests, barium is another key component, which, of course, is a desiccant, but it also, I'm sure as you know, Dr. Kolb, increases blood pressure. So typically on heavy spray days, I've spoken to emergency room physicians who have told me that during heavy spray days, they see people with a lot of the symptoms that we discussed, but then also the frequency of heart attacks are increased, and also strokes. So it's a deep concern for those of us who are aware of what's in our atmosphere.
Well, before we go on to talk more about the health benefits, I'd like to mention something I saw when I was researching chemtrails, and that's that some of the major corporations like Disney, and I think some of the other, it might even be Universal, that had clouds in their logos or in their movie intros, now have clouds that look like chemtrails rather than the normal fluffy clouds. Isn't that interesting?
It's very interesting, and there are some older movies from the 70s and the 60s which have been remastered, and they've actually been remastered with these trails. So what many people believe is this is in part an agenda to make us think that this is normal as in terms of what we're seeing in our skies. However, it's not normal. It's not natural at all. And, based on our findings and in the collapse of the forest and the aluminum-related illnesses. You know, it's, again, deeply concerning to many of us.
Well, let's start with the, we'll end up with humans last. Let's start with the soil first. You had looked at soil levels of aluminum and, more importantly, acid-base balance of the soil, and talked to farmers and people that, I guess this would be in the water, too. The lake water would change pH as well. And so basically, if you put enough of this stuff down, you're going to change the pH as well as the aluminum content of the soil, and that means that certain crops may not grow, and even trees that are growing and changing over may be damaged like they showed in Hawaii in the film.
Well, that's absolutely correct. About 7 years ago, a scientist up in the Redding area, Northern California area, noticed that the forest was collapsing, natural foods were not growing, so they started wondering what was going on, and they began testing soil pH.
Mm-hmm.
What they found was deeply concerning because the pH of the soil was changing from a typical acidic soil to an alkaline soil. So they began testing the rain, and what they found was deeply concerning, extremely high levels of aluminum, barium, and strontium. Those oxides will change a pH of a soil from acidic to basic, exactly what's happening. Basic science tells us what requires an acidic soil to grow will not grow when that soil turns to alkaline. So as a result, we are seeing a collapse of ecosystems as a result of this pH change. Some of the samples that they tested, one was a snow test on the side of Mount Shasta, and it was 7 parts per billion of aluminum, which is already high. 7 years later, they came back and tested, and these levels, in some cases, have increased over 50,000 percentage points. And the test that we covered in the film, which was one of several hundred tests taken from around the world, came up to 61,100 parts per billion. Just to give you an idea of how high that is, drinking water allowables allow for no more than 50 parts per billion. Government action is required at 1,000. So these are astronomical levels of aluminum. Again, they match geoengineers' plans exactly. What we see in the sky matches those plans exactly. And there are numerous patents for actual spraying devices that were designed to spray aerosol aluminum oxide out of airplanes. So the patents match, again, geoengineers' plans exactly. So we have a real crisis on our hands, not only for the ecosystems, but, you know, also for human health. Another area that we went to was Hawaii, where typically people are growing organic foods. And when we went to Hawaii, we didn't have any baseline tests, but we did see aerosols in the sky. Since we've returned, we've gotten a public official to do over 30 rain tests, which all revealed, again, toxic levels of aluminum, barium, and strontium. So deeply concerning to many of us. And I just recently returned and interviewed many farmers who have seen up to a 50% decline in their ability to grow organic food.
Does it appear that the chemtrails over Hawaii are just over the islands, or are they also out in, you know, way out in the Pacific with no land underneath?
It looks like they're spraying about 300 miles off of Maui, and then Kauai is getting hit the hardest. Other areas mm-hmm. and other islands are not getting hit as hard at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like certain areas are being targeted. We've noticed, we've been watching satellites, that they've been spraying more offshore and then bringing these aerosols above the sky. So we're not seeing, at least this summer, the crisscrossing patterns that we see on a regular basis. However, those particulates are definitely in the air. Rain tests are still revealing that they are.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I wanted to mention while we were on the food subject, during that trip, we know that soils are being toxified. We know that organic foods are not growing like they had been growing. we learned that there is a new aluminum-resistant GMO seed which will grow in this new environment. So a lot of people believe, again, these are multi-agenda operations, I believe primarily weather control, but an agenda to literally destroy natural and organic food so that these corporations can come in and control the food market.
Well, that's some pretty heavy karma for them, ruining the planet.
I would say so, but, you know, again, it's about control. It's about controlling the food.
Mm-hmm.
It's about controlling the weather and things that are not in the best interest of you, I, and probably most of the listeners, unless some of them are from these corporations.
Right. Oh, I'm sure they're listening.
Say hi
to them. I wrote a book called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, which involves two multinational corporations, and I know very well that they listen. So, you know, I'm one of the whistleblowers, just like you. You're a little higher scale than I am, but I'm a whistleblower in a billion-dollar industry as well. So, it certainly is interesting that we have the problem reaction solution scenario here. With that GM food saving the day solution, and anybody who reads David Icke knows that the agenda would be create a problem, create a reaction of fear, and then provide the solution. And so look for that pattern, not just in what we were just talking about, but in almost anything that the agenda is following that particular pattern.
Well, that's absolutely correct, and they're using this supposed threat of global warming, stating that geoengineers are very open about the risks. They say there will be winners and losers, and
mm-hmm.
there will be droughts in certain areas, exactly what we're seeing now. And so they're very open about the risks, and all of the risks that they're open about, we're seeing come to fruition right now.
Right.
But they are using that fear of they. Geoengineer David Keith said geoengineering is like chemotherapy. He said,
mm-hmm.
nobody wants it, but we all want the option to do it. Well, I don't want chemotherapy. I want to go to natural products, and
right.
I believe that the earth can heal itself. So this mentality and this fear tactic, what they're doing is selling programs that benefit a small group in our population. They call themselves the elite.
Mm-hmm.
I call them the criminal elite. And,
right, you have the companies that are doing the chemtrail thing because they're getting paid. That's what people have to understand.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting paid to spray this stuff, and most likely the owners of those corporations are tied into the criminal elite, as you say.
Well, they absolutely are, and a major component, I believe, is weather control, and a document that we covered in When the World Are They Spraying is a military document called Owning the Weather by 2025. That's an expressed
mm-hmm.
interest of our government. Now, why aluminum? Aluminum, while it's not a great conductor in wires and for your home, it's a fantastic conductor in the sky because it stays up much longer. And geoengineer David Keith at the conference that we covered in the film stated that they have the ability to heat up over 400 square miles of our atmosphere. And what that can do is create high-pressure systems, low-pressure systems, and they can literally steer storms. That's why we're seeing drought conditions in areas like California and massive mm-hmm. flooding in the Midwest and on the East Coast. And when I first heard about weather control, my question was, why would somebody want to control the weather? And then I looked into it, and I thought, controlling the weather gives these criminal elites an opportunity to have, as geoengineering, David Keith said, geoengineering gives man godlike power. It gives them godlike power.
Mm-hmm.
Not only can they use it for warfare applications, creating droughts in certain regions and bringing countries down to their knees and taking the resources and making them buy into these GMO seeds, but it also, in terms of weather, it gives them the ability to control the food supply. And Henry Kissinger said back in 2000, or he said several years back that their plan was to use food as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that population control is part of that agenda. So it appears that this is all linked into the agenda of what many people call the New World Order, or the One World Government agenda. So it's deeply concerning.
Well, my uncle was in NOAA, and in fact, I think he was very high up in NOAA, and he told me in the 70s that they could control the weather. So it goes back quite a ways.
Oh, it absolutely does.
It's not just a recent thing. I think in the 70s, he said that they could control. I remember having conversations with him. He said this: they know how to control tornadoes. They can create them. They can block them once created. They can do hurricanes. But we are not doing it because of the liability involved. You know, because if, you know, say it's an act of God if a hurricane hits Atlanta, but if you divert it and it hits another small town, then the government might be liable for doing that. So
well,
that's what he explained to me. I remember it very clearly.
Yes, and geoengineer Ken Caldera, who is the world, spoke about their ability, spoke about steering storms and the liabilities associated with this. Again, I think it's important to note that they deny that these programs have been started, but the toxic fallout that cannot be denied, not only here in Northern California, mm-hmm. but around the world, in increasing amounts, and the things that we're seeing come to fruition, I believe completely proves that these programs have not only been started, but fully implemented. And, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, this is their end game. It gives them complete control over the earth. As a filmmaker and somebody who's concerned about the nature and my fellow human beings, it's deeply concerning to me because I know a lot of people who have been negatively affected.
You start the film, What in the World Are They Spraying, at the conference. You want to tell us a little bit about the conference and what... this is a conference on geoengineering, but with a scenario that they're considering using it, but haven't used it yet. I want the listeners to be clear about that. So this is an official conference, and you want to tell them a little bit about where that was and what they said about the deniability of it being in existence now.
Of course, yeah. That was at the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, and for 3 days we listened again to geoengineers talk about their plans and proposals to mm-hmm. spray 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum oxide into our sky for the stated goal of cooling the planet. While I confronted the geoengineers, they again blatantly denied that that this was going on. However,
now, what is your opinion of their denial? I mean, do you think they know it's going on, or are they blind like my brother is? He's just blind. I don't think he believes in chemtrails.
Right, and he might not. However, I believe they know exactly what's going on. Bottom line is, they're lying to us, and we just have to look at the money trail. Bill Gates, by the way, is a funder into geoengineering. He's been funding David Keith. This is for the public record. We do know mm-hmm. that Bill Gates is a supporter of population reduction. And we also know that his father worked very closely with Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood. And she's on the record mm-hmm. as stating that their agenda was to create Planned Parenthood for the purpose of reducing the African-American population in the inner city. So a lot of people don't know this, but his family does have ties
An
with the criminal elite in achieving these goals. So again, there's no doubt in my mind that these are the front men, they're the salesmen for these programs, and again, using the Hegelian dialectic problem-reaction-solution to create fear in people and get public support for these programs. I think it would be very difficult for these corporations and these people who want to control the weather to tell the public, you know, we're going to spray toxic materials into the sky. Many of you will be sick. The population is going to be reduced, but it gives us greater power. It's mm-hmm. very difficult to get public support based on that, on those premises.
No,
however, if you create fear in people and tell the people that this is something that we have to do to save the planet, then you can get public support and achieve your goals. So, again, what they're doing is not good. It's not in the best interest of the general public, so they have to use deception to get public support for their agenda. So without a doubt, we've provided geoengineers with documentation of the toxic fallout, tons of documentation, and again, there's just a blatant denial. So no question in my mind that they're well aware of what's going on, and again, selling these very ominous programs to an unsuspecting public.
So now they're trying to make it kind of more official. I wanted on a side note to say that Bill Gates, I saw on YouTube him speaking about population control, and he slipped up and said that vaccines were being used for things like population control. And, of course, that's not supposed to be widely known knowledge. So
right.
that was a little snafu there in the speech.
I think Bill Gates thought he was speaking to the Bilderberg Group or the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, when he said that, and then he realized, wow, I'm at the
TED conference. These people don't know we're using vaccines for population control.
Right. I think he said, whoops, that was a mistake.
That was kind of funny. But, the thing is now they're trying to legitimize it. What they're trying to do, they've been doing it for a while. Well, first of all, Michael, how long do you think chemtrails have been being sprayed? I think that's an important question.
Well, I believe that testing started probably somewhere in the 60s. But not on a very regular basis. However, we've started seeing our skies changing in what looks to be like a full-scale deployment around 1997.
Okay.
And I think it's important to point out that during that time, we have seen profound changes, not only in ecosystems, but also in human health. And I think it's important to note our levels of Alzheimer's have increased in Riverside County over 260%, over 200% in L.A. County. And we're seeing these aluminum-related illnesses go through the roof. And as you stated, Guy, you're seeing hair tests of people coming in with levels off the chart. There was an area in Mojave County, Arizona, where people, I believe 30 people got tested. And they tested, many of them were, I believe, 1,000 times over the level considered to be elevated in barium. Many of them were very high in aluminum. And again, that's what we're seeing. And increasing amounts in the fallout.
And other things have been sprayed as well experimentally. I believe that mycoplasmin may have been sprayed experimentally, and there's even theories that other things have been sprayed. I know Dr. Staninger, who I interview on the program, looked at the fibers in the chemtrails and found that they were the same as the fibers in Morgellons patients.
Yes.
And she reported that. So it's not just these things. I mean, it seems like there is an experimental thing going on with a number of different things. And so all of these intracellular diseases like mycoplasma, maybe even some of the spirochetes, the more difficult diseases like Morgellons, which we treat here, are quite associated with chemtrails. And I had a 17-year-old, he used to call me all the time from Idaho, because he was deathly ill with Morgellons, and his family was of no help, and was just all they would do is put him away in the mental institute, and he wasn't mentally ill at all. He was quite bright and very, very sick. And he kind of figured out with natural substances how to get himself well. But he told me that when there was chemtrails above, he was the sickest. He made that association with Morgellons, which is interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's very common. Yeah, a lot of people have that, especially the people who have chemical sensitivity, really feel ill during the heavier spray days. And you brought up a very important point. And we covered just on the basis of geoengineering. So we covered aluminum, barium, and strontium, which has been found in a rain, snow, and through numerous air tests. However, as you stated, there are a number of things that they're spraying. Definitely not limited to what we covered in the film. We could have done a film for about 20 hours, so we had to limit it to certain guidelines, but that opens up the door to look into this a little more deeply, which I plan to do in another film. Why in the world are they spraying, where I'm going to cover...
There you go. That's good. That's excellent. Well, I really look forward to that one. So now we have a little bit of more information about some agendas, not just the global warming agenda. I wanted, before we leave global warming, though, I wanted to ask you what you think of the exposure that was made in the news not too long ago, that a lot of the global warming data was you know, manipulated and may not have been really true. Do you think that that is part of this, that they were trying to make the problem greater than it was by manipulating scientific data?
I definitely think that's possible. However, my stance, and I have very strong feelings about global warming, I've seen it to be used as a very divisive issue within the result of geoengineering. So publicly, what I state is, until they stop spraying, we cannot get accurate data. There's no question about that.
That's a very good point. Because what are they measuring? They're measuring something after they've changed it.
They absolutely are.
I called my brother up the other day. This is really funny. Remember at Christmas time, I think it was last Christmas, where most of the country was under snow?
Yes.
Okay. So I call him up and I go, "Hey, I'm not sure about this global warming thing." And he goes, "Well, eventually there's going to be an ice age in the next 1,000 years. I go, "Okay." That was my discussion with him. Now, remember, he presents global warming to Congress. He's truly one of the he runs Aerodyne, a corporation that, you know, is quite well known for their research work. So anyway, I thought that was interesting that he said, "Yeah, we're going to have a global cooling." But what happens after global warming, if you study the phenomena, when you've had it long enough, and we may not have known that we were having it because of this chemtrail thing. I mean, you know, it may not have been as serious as what it could have been. And then we may actually be closer to the cooling age than we know. What do you think of that?
Well, it's interesting because, again, going back to a statement that geoengineer David Keith made, he said that we could create an ice age for very inexpensive. So he was talking about the power associated with geoengineering. So, again, geoengineering does have that ability to create an ice age, and it does have the ability to warm certain parts of the Earth. So as a result, we're definitely seeing climate change. We're seeing weird weather patterns. We're seeing, like up here in Reading, they have seen, and perhaps Dane can speak on this a little more, but it has been snowing at above 40 degrees in this region. When you and I grew up, it didn't snow above 32 degrees. That was a known fact.
It couldn't.
However, they're seeing this, and they're seeing very big snowflakes. And what that's doing, it also has profound effects on the ecosystems, because that snow and those large snowflakes fall onto the trees during seasons when there are typically leaves on it. It's breaking branches and, again, impacting the ecosystems in a very negative way. So these are very destructive programs on a number of fronts. We could talk probably for about 20 hours about the damaging effects of these, but that's just one of the many deep concerns that we have. And right now I'm out with Dane on his property. Dane has over 20 acres overlooking Mount Shasta and Lake Shasta. And again, he's noticed the profound changes on his property, and he's deeply concerned. And has actually become one of the most active and knowledgeable activists on this issue. So I think it's important to perhaps bring him on in the last 20 minutes of program, if you don't mind. I think it'd be good.
Now, what do you recommend to people as far as drinking water? Because, of course, the water and the snowflakes and everything melts and goes into our water supply. What's happening to our water supply?
Well, in certain water supplies, we have seen increases of these metals. In other water supplies, we have not. It depends. Like in Mount Shasta, the aquifers, it takes about 20 years for that the snow melt to get down into the water. So again, some levels have increased in water supplies, some have not. We do know that in certain areas such as Northern California, we've seen over a 94% decline in the salmon run. So what this does, again, these metals, the aluminum oxide, will change the pH of soils into an alkaline. That's devastating to insects, which in other aquatic life, because a lot of fish feed off of these insects. And again, we've just seen a complete collapse in our ecosystems.
Do you think it's having any effect on the oceans?
Well, we know it has an effect on the oceans. There was a study that came out about 16 months ago, and it was a study on whales. And whales were shown to have extremely high levels of aluminum. We've been also studying satellite, and this summer they've been spraying very heavy out over the Pacific Ocean. So we know that they're spraying, and again, these metals fall into the ocean, and it does, it literally affects every living thing on the planet.
Now, in the film, you show the geoengineering conference, and then you go out and you interview the farmers and some other, you know, other people that are gathering data and show the effects that are already there. And then at the end of the film, you end up in Congress interviewing our representatives. I found that a very interesting part of the show.
Well, it's very interesting, and we did. We walked into the bowels of Congress, and we interviewed many criminals, I mean politicians, and asked them about their knowledge of these programs, and it was very interesting because they were very receptive to us until we brought up the issue of geoengineering. And many of them denied any knowledge of this issue. However, as you might know, there have been numerous congressional hearings on the issue of geoengineering. We even interviewed Bart Gordon.
Some of which they participated in.
which they were involved in. So we even interviewed Congressman Bart Gordon. He's the head of the Science and Tech Committee, who again, you know, did admit that there have been hearings, but denied that these programs have been deployed. And politically, not that I have faith in much of our, if any, of our political system, but I think we do have some people who are deeply concerned about these programs and some politicians who are very well aware of it. However, I think it's very difficult for many of them to address, and I believe the reason is this. If a politician addresses that this is going on, they then have a responsibility to address this. They have to address this, and I think many of them have no idea how to go about this because this is not only limited to the U.S. There are many different corporations, many different governments involved with this, and I think many of them just have no idea how to address this, the plausible
deniability. I think they're probably told it's something that they need to stay away from, just like doctors are told to stay away from Morgellons disease. And that don't have consequences. I think there's internal consequences if they make any noise about them.
I think you're correct, and we don't have to look back too far. We can look into the Space Preservation Act, which was written in 2001 by Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and he actually, in that act, called for the banning of chemtrails. Before the bill went before vote, the area of chemtrails had been removed. Now, I have heard that his brother and sister had died in mysterious accidents during that year, so I think again, the consequences are very high. These programs, again, are multi-billion-dollar operations, and it does give man godlike power. So the corporations, the people, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds who appear to be behind this would give great pressure to any politician, any public figure that addresses this. Again, this is what I believe to be their end game, and they're able to achieve many different agendas, many different goals for this. And again, it gives certain individuals a tremendous amount of power. So anybody that stands in their way who has power, I think, has severe consequences. But, I think it's important to point out right now, we are seeing people who are being, their health is being deeply affected, and we are seeing such a quick collapse of our ecosystem. It is not a time to play politics. It is not a time to bow down to the corporate interests. We are in a real crisis, and the people who are covering this up, the people who are involved with this, if somehow they think that they're immune to this, they're just flat out wrong. And, you know, it always it always baffles me how, and we know that there are agents who are trying to cover this up. We know that there's a blatant denial of this. We just wonder how, you know, what could be more important than your children? What could be more important than the livelihood
planet.
Of your family? What could be more important?
I mean, where are we
going to
go? We haven't developed space travel yet, you know.
then our
as far
Earth.
As I know, the moon is not habitable yet.
And his career, and you know, some of the agents have been coming in and trying to discredit a lot of the new scientific data that's been coming in, and it just baffles me because, you know, I'm thinking, aren't you aware that you're being affected by this as well? So you're protecting the very programs that are hurting you and your family. So one of the reasons, though, with that being said, that I produced the film was really to reach out to the people. We know that many people are involved. There are a lot of pilots involved, and I think a lot of them have no idea how damaging these programs are, and that's one of the reasons why I got involved with this, not to condemn them, but to reach out and let them know these are damaging programs. You are hurting your loved ones. You are hurting your family, and you know, one of my greatest hopes is that we're going to start having whistleblowers, and I honestly believe that we will. The film's been out for about 8 months, certain individuals have come out, but none have been willing to come out publicly who they are and specifically who they work for. So if anybody out there is listening who's involved with this, I just urge you to come forward, be a patriot, be an American, and more importantly, be a human being who protects the rest of humanity. We're in a real crisis here, and I think it's real important that you get educated. The film and other information, I think it's important, and other videos that I've made involving this issue can be found on my website, truthmediaproductions.us. Again, truthmediaproductions.us. And then we're also encouraging anybody who purchases the film, it's available on the Internet, but those who purchase the film, not only do they support our efforts so that I can continue to address this on a daily basis, we're encouraging those folks to make copies and hand this film out for free. As a result, we've had millions of people who have become awakened to this, and we have people that hand out about 1,000 DVDs per week in some areas. So it's been a very effective way, and I just encourage, again, people to go to my website, truthmediaproductions.us.
Yeah, I really think the film was very well done, and I agree with you that education should be the primary you know, focus of any of these films that are exposing things. And essentially, people do need to know. What do you think about the theory that that at least Americans, I don't know about the rest of the world, are being dumbed down chemically, so that we just watch TV and don't even worry about the chemtrails and the water contamination and the food contamination?
Well, without a doubt, and the fluoride in the water, which actually acts as a transporter, as you know, for aluminum to pass by our blood-brain barrier, I think you're absolutely correct. If Americans wake up, which many of us are, they cannot do these ominous things to us. And so I think there's an increased agenda to get people to perhaps watch Dancing with the Stars and get captivated by what their favorite singer or star might be wearing, rather than having an interest in issues that truly affect them and their families. But I've seen a tremendous awakening in the past year with this issue. It's literally on the radar now. People are getting active, not only addressing this politically, but again, we have activists around the world now who are getting the film out and getting this issue out. So there is a tremendous awakening. Bottom line is this. There is no greater issue, no greater, more important issue that we have had to face in the history of humanity. So as a result, we are seeing people wake up, and we are seeing a worldwide movement that is being established. We're working on an ordinance in Hawaii, and essentially what the ordinance will do, it will ban aerosol spraying from geoengineering programs above the island of Maui. That, again, video can be seen on my website, truthmediaproductions.us. And I think it's important to note that I really don't have faith in our system, and I don't think that the people behind these programs are saying, oh, no, you know, when this passes, we're not going to be able to spray above Maui. But I think it makes a strong political statement, and I think it helps with our agenda to wake people up. Bottom line is this. This is not something that we can depend on corporations to handle. This is not something that we can depend on our governments to handle. We need to take this matter into our own hands. And right now, awareness, although it's increased several fold since the release of the film, it's still low. So it's important, and I think it's our responsibility, those of us who are aware of this, to address this, hand the DVD out to loved ones, and just get general knowledge out. Bottom line is this. The human spirit, we as human beings have a tremendous amount of power. Part of the dumbing down has been this false belief that we are powerless and we do not have the ability to do anything. But if each and every one of us stood up and said no to this, they would not be able to do it. I feel very strongly about that. Jane is with me, and I was wondering if you wanted to bring him on to the program for the last 20 minutes. I think he's been a mentor of mine.
Yeah, I just want to before you introduce him, I want to make one comment that goes with the legislation information you just gave. I don't know if you're aware, but I believe last time I read, 8 states, including Georgia, have passed legislation saying that people cannot be verichipped without their permission. So you see, this there are legislative efforts in other related topics that have gone on, and I'm almost shocked to hear that legislation had been passed about verichips, which is another part of the One World Order plan. It's just interesting.
Uh-huh. It absolutely is. And we can do that in each and every state, but we have to have a conscious and aware public, as you stated, and that responsibility falls on those of us who are aware of this. So I can't stress the importance of addressing this in a prudent and an appropriate way. We now have scientists behind this movement, and we now have scientific data, which proves that these programs are occurring. So we can use that data for our benefit to save literally humanity.
Right, absolutely. So, well, go ahead and introduce.
Excellent. Well, to the listeners, again, you can go onto my website, Truth Media Productions. .us, support the filmmakers. Also, if you want to help support the next film and donate, there is a donate button that would be greatly appreciated in helping us to bring more of these truths out to the public. But I'd like to introduce you to just a great friend of mine. Through some terrible programs, I've developed some wonderful relationships that I truly value, and I definitely honor that. Dane has been a mentor. He's been an educator. And most of all, just a great friend on this issue, has a wealth of knowledge, and I'd like to pass the phone on to him. And, Doctor, I'd like to thank you again for the opportunity to address this issue, and I'd like to thank the listeners for listening and giving this issue the attention that it needs. So thanks again. God bless you. And here's Dane Wigington.
Hello, Doctor.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for giving this issue the airtime that it so desperately needs. Some ground
it's
that Mike
important
may, it, if people understood the gravity of effect that these programs are having, again, this short of nuclear contamination, if one rationally examines this issue, there is no greater threat than the geoengineering programs. My background is with Bechtel Power Corporation. I worked in the first solar plants in the continental U.S., my home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine, and it's from this background that I got onto the geoengineering programs. I began to lose 30, 40, 50, sometimes 60 and 70% of my solar uptake strictly from what the jets were emitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, knowing that could not possibly have been a normal jet emission, I began to study this issue. Now, something that the listeners, would probably not know, and I believe that Mike didn't cover, these programs also shred ozone. No one disputes that. The geoengineers themselves admit that particulate clouds cause chlorine molecule reactions which shred ozone. The ozone reading chart has been changed from a scale of 1 to 10 to 1 to 15. You know, it appears to be a probable fallout from these GE programs. And again, there's virtually nothing that is not affected. And Mike went over the fallout to the ecosystem here. So much metal has fallen on us in Northern California that it has changed soil pHs a magnitude of 10 to 12 times. And this is measured with USA soil scientists. I've been in the field with them. They're afraid to go on the record, as are, you know, anybody in agencies. But again, the amount of metal falling on us cannot be overstated. And if people understood that whatever battle they're fighting, whatever issue they feel is important, and there are many, if you can't walk out the door and suck in a breath without pulling in a lung full of heavy metal, you have a problem.
Yeah, my brother for many years was the head of the ozone committee for the country. And so over the years I learned a lot about ozone. But he, like I said, absolutely denies that chemtrails exist. So that shows you that the people in charge advising the government, the top scientists, are not aware of the problem, or they're denying the problem, one or the other. So we've got problems. Congress is not getting correct information.
I think people in any kind of position like that are probably under threat. I really believe they're under threat. In our area here, there's people from USDA, Cal Fire, the California Department of Fish and Game, biologists. Mm-hmm. They all know these programs are real, but they are afraid to step out of the shadows for very obvious reasons. And in the meantime, you know, the decimation here, again, in a little over 5 years, as Mike, I think, alluded to, salmon runs have declined about 95%. Aquatic insect life has declined about 96-97% in many of the tributaries. I mean, it's a virtual catastrophe, and yet, you know, people are still unwilling to step out of the shadows. But at some point, one hopes that those people will realize that their silence will not save them, and that only by speaking out can this lethal crime be addressed. And again, for those listeners who want to find more data, another website Mike may have mentioned, geoengineeringwatch.org, is a site that people can confidently refer others to that has solid geoengineering data and doesn't wander off onto other subjects. Because it's critical. The term geoengineering is critical because when the term chemtrails is looked up, it leads to a lot of sites that go a lot of different directions and perhaps might lose credibility. And the geoengineering term can be found to have solid scientific basis to it. So, you know, the semantics are important in this particular case. And the equation boils down to this, that what we see in the sky matches the geoengineering patents exactly. It matches the express goal, the loss of solar uptake, the blocking of solar illumination. That's an express goal of GE patents. The metal falling on us is exactly the primary metals listed in geoengineering patents. These metals were not there 10 years ago in significant quantities. In some cases, as Mike alluded to, they've gone up in our region up to 50,000% in a single rain event, from 7 parts per billion to 3,450 parts per billion. That is literally a lethal amount of aluminum in a single rainfall. It's not coming from China. Many people grab at that straw. It's just floating over from China. California Air Quality Resources Board has done study of aerosols from China. Aluminum was not amongst those aerosols. So, again, there is no other plausible explanation for the source. And again, people can easily observe phenomena in the sky that can't be explained any other way. I mean, it's every dot connects here.
And I want to mention two other things that we haven't mentioned on the program. One is that the wildfires are burning at much, much higher temperatures because of the aluminum. As you know, aluminum burns higher at higher temperature. So the wildfires will be more destructive and more difficult to put out. And eventually we might not be able to put them out if they get bad enough. And then the other thing is that I've noticed, especially this year, people going out for very short times in the sun, especially in Florida, and getting horrible sunburns. Not just burns, but sun poisoning, just for being out for 40 minutes, even with sunscreen. So when you say ripping apart the ozone, you have to understand that we may not be able to go outside, even for 20 minutes, if there is a huge amount of radiation getting through the ozone layer. The ozone layer protects us, not just from skin cancer type radiation, but other radiation that affects our immune system. And so when you get sun poisoning, you get quite ill, and people die of sun poisoning.
You know, those are very important points, and you're exactly right. And again, if anybody who researches the subject of geoengineering will find that one of the major known consequences is shredding of the ozone layer. No one disputes that. The proponents of geoengineering do not dispute that. And again, the UV levels in the last 10 years have gone off the charts so much so that they've had to change the scale from 1 to 10 to 1 to 15. So these issues are real, and many people are noticing that the increased intensity on their skin from the sun. And again, if you weigh in all the consequences of these programs, ultrafine particulates being sucked into our lungs, particulates so small that they pass right through the lung lining into the bloodstream, shredding of the ozone, poisoning of all the flora, bioavailable aluminum arrests the growth of many organisms. We see it in our trees here in our boreal forest. It is literally killing the Doug fir population, changing soil pHs. There is nothing that lives that is not affected by these programs, a slow, insidious decimation on every level. And if people really research the subject of geoengineering and the totality of the decimation it's causing, I believe they would pick up that torch and realize there is no more important issue or no greater threat short of nuclear contamination than geoengineering.
And the aluminum definitely plays a role in both fibromyalgia, which I believe is chemical and biotoxicity, as well as Alzheimer's disease. We don't know exactly how. Alzheimer's may actually be a cyanobacter toxin, but very, very high aluminum levels in the plaques indicate that aluminum may very, very may actually have a role in the formation of Alzheimer's. So, we know that some pretty serious diseases are associated with high hair levels of aluminum.
Now, in addition to that, and I agree with everything you said. In addition to that, we've just received medical reports on synergistic toxicity that state. Well, the studies that we have show that enough mercury, which all of us have in us, enough mercury to kill 1 in 100 rats, combined with enough aluminum to kill 1 in 100 rats, kills all the rats. The toxicity is increased by 10,000% when those two metals are combined. So the lethality of this aluminum bombardment cannot be overstated. Cannot be overstated.
Especially if you have mercury fillings. And
exactly.
I've written papers on total toxic load. It's a concept that people just don't comprehend, that it's not just this toxin or that toxin. It's actually what they all do when they're together in your body. And that's not well studied at all.
It is not well studied. In fact, we're in communication with the Northern California top neurologist, and who's very diligently examining this issue. And, even with his vocation and his level of standing in the medical community, he's very, very not up to speed in this issue. And they are just now realizing how lethal the synergistic toxicity is between these metals. When the addition of aluminum comes into the equation, the lethality, again, is increased exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to recommend again, like I did at the beginning of the show, magnesium malic acid is very, very effective for reducing aluminum levels. And you can get a hair analysis for $99. You have to use either pubic hair or hair that's not colored or dyed. Doctor's data is very reliable. What we do is we do analysis of the heavy metals, and we also know people have hydrophobic chemicals, which are the solvents, a lot of the plastics and solvents. So we recommend two different kinds of foot baths. We recommend an ionic foot bath for the hydrophilic chemicals, and then that's the heavy metals, arsenic, and other things like that. And we recommend a hydrophobic foot bath to get out the solvents, because a lot of those are potential carcinogens like benzene, toluene, methyl ethyl ketone. And between the two types of foot baths, as well as a detox supplement program, we can pretty much get people detoxed without expending a huge amount of money on chelation or other more expensive oral programs.
But I think that's all sound advice, and it's something that people do need to engage in. And People ask always, what can they do? And what I would suggest that everybody from the comfort of their own home can find organizations in their area, organizations and entities that would care if they only knew about this issue. Alzheimer's groups, ADD, autism, and a flaming arrow can be sent to those groups of a file of credible geoengineering data to alert them to this situation, and so much awareness can be raised by individuals within their own home in front of their own computer by sending out these flaming arrows, you know, credible data, credible documents, credible articles, and in that sort of sharing and helping to raise awareness, critical mass can be reached on this issue while there's still time. So everybody can do that from the comfort of their own home. And again, a valuable site, Mike's Truth Media, and also geoengineeringwatch.org. And, you know, if people all took up this torch and began to, you know, raise this awareness, it would not be able to be kept under the rug for much longer, one hopes.
Well, we're coming up at the end of our hour. I want to thank you for joining us. It's a very, very important topic, one we've been concerned about for some time, living in Atlanta. We're actually living in any part of the world now, almost. You need to be concerned about chemtrails. Please do get the What in the World Are They Spraying film. Spread it to make copies. Spread it to all of the people that you know. Your suggestion about contacting organizations is a good one, as well as contacting your representatives in Congress is a good suggestion as well. Next week on Temple of Health Radio Show, we will be interviewing Jeremy Bennett on intuitive strategy, counseling, and training. And then on the 13th, Dr. Aurora Ariel, Earth 2012, The Ultimate Quest. And on the 20th, Stanton T. Friedman, Science Was Wrong. We have Noetic Science Meeting on Thursday, August 18th. The Dunwoody office, Dr. Brad Gould will be presenting anti-aging with regards to options around hormone replacement therapy for men and women. Again, thanks so much for joining us, and I appreciate all the great information on geoengineering and what we can do to raise awareness. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show.